In a word, freedom. I want you to repeat two words after me. Deep cleansing. Let's say it together. Deep cleansing. We're here today to talk about deep cleansing. We're here today to talk not about a polish, not about an outward rinse. Talk about a deep cleansing. I liken the Christian walk to a river. How many of you have ever been on a river cruise? Those are for real. At least I can. That's what it look. The commercials look like they're for real. In other words, you got the Tuckasegee River, Chattahoochee River. When I was a kid, I lived in Hudson, Ohio, outside of Akron. That we had the Cuyahoga River. The Cuyahoga River actually caught on fire. Do you know that? You ever anybody? The river caught on fire. There's Mississippi River. There's all kind of rivers, and river is sort of a metaphor for your Christian walk. And there's a current within that river. It's called a cross current. For me Florida people, it's an undertow, riptide. Am I speaking your language? There's a current in life where we're supposed to be headed in one direction, we get pulled in another. Sometimes we get pulled down, sometimes we get pulled left or right, but the pull keeps us from where it is the Lord would have us to go. Jesus said in John chapter 7, he said, out of you will flow rivers of living water. We are like rivers. I was reading a little book to my granddaughter not long ago, and Abraham Lincoln liked rivers. He liked them because they gave direction. They were a source of power. Commerce took place in the river, and the river was a place of recreation. The Christian life is like a river. The question we have to be mindful of is, am I getting pulled away by a cross current from time to time? Am I getting pulled under or pulled away from where God would have me to be? There ought to be movement in your life. There ought to be distance and direction being accomplished in your life. And eventually, if you don't know Christ, friend, this is bad. What's your destination? Where's that river taking you? Where are you headed, not only in life, but in the afterlife? If you're not a follower of Christ, what afterlife do you have, and on what is it based? These are things that we have to address. So we're looking for a deep cleansing today. We go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and we see these words. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Jesus is big on freedom. I want freedom. You want freedom. Everybody wants freedom. But listen, are you free? Are there areas of your life where there is not freedom, where there is a cross current pulling you away from enjoying the life that God has called you? Are there areas where there's bondage? Are there areas where there's restriction? Are there areas where you're not free to grow and to live and to enjoy? Are there habitual, ever-present, seem to never go away areas that pull on you, nag you? Underlying things under the surface that every now and again will reap up and pull you down. Things that came out of your past, mistakes you made, harm that was done to you, betrayal that took place in your life, a previous relationship, whatever those things are, that cross current can get you. And if you don't stop, if you don't think, if you don't observe, if you don't reflect upon it, you may find that it's become so familiar to you that you've just accepted it as a way of life. Friend, that's not freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. He puts a huge premium on freedom. Freedom from worry, from fear, from anxiety, from trepidation, from a poor body image, a poor self-image, a misunderstanding of who God is, from poor relationships, from past mistakes. I mean freedom from it all. That's what we're talking about in this church. Freedom in Christ. An incredible price was paid for that freedom. A free-flowing Christianity where you're free to be yourself because you want to be. You don't have to be anyone else. If you're a young person today, you know the cross current is the peer pressure of life. The expectations that are placed upon young boys and young girls and the rush to form an identity rooted in something other than who created you. Yes, we're called to be free, man, and I mean free. And there's sometimes those things are so deep in us. I mean, sometimes I sit in my office after 3 or 4 appointments, and I get in my car to go home, and the only 2 words I can think, and I'm happy, I'm joyous that the counseling is making progress, I'm joyous that people are being transparent, but the only 2 words that just go over my mind is I walk out of my office and it's human carnage. Human carnage. It's that after an hour, 3 or 4 sessions, after an hour each time, an hour and a half, when you get underneath the surface of Cashers and Highlands and the utopia of the mountains and you get down to the reality of the all, somewhere down in there is an absence of freedom, a pull, a weight, a bondage, a shackle, a handcuff, some emotional carnage. And it's very, very real. And it may not be on your mind 24/7, but a deep cleansing touches on that. And you'll find it'll change the way you interact with other people when you're free. When you're free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. I'm looking at Galatians 5 and 1, plus 16 through 18. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Slavery, what is that? That's a lack of movement, a lack of direction, a lack of choice. Sometimes these things deep inside of us are making choices for us. They're dictating what we think we can and cannot do. They're forming some sort of an opinion about ourselves that we've come to accept, though it be a lie, according to the Scripture. Yeah, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. A lack of movement, a lack of direction, a lack of purpose, a lack of power. River is a source of power. Lack of commerce. You don't have the freedom to dream. Freedom to wonder. Freedom to set a goal that is so incredibly wonderful because you're inadequate, because you were told you were inadequate, because it can happen, because you'll just be disappointed. No freedom, no flow. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. One of the coolest verses in all the Bible is in Nehemiah. It's just a simple question. Is what do you want? That's not a bad question. What do you want? King Artaxerxes asked this of Nehemiah. What do you want? If asked that question this morning, what is it that you want? What is it that you want to be free of? What is it that you want to relinquish? What is it that you want surrendered? What is it that you want canceled out and voided? What is it do you want silenced? What is it do you want to be abolished? What is it do you want obliterated in your life, in your mind, in your heart? Maybe it's a mistake you made. You want your virginity back. You want your child back. You want a do-over. You want your marriage back. You want your money back. Freedom, or the absence thereof. The undertow that can take us far from where we need to be. This cross current demands our focus and attention. It demands a regular audience. It demands it be heard. It demands it be felt. It demands it destroys. It's the human dilemma of living in a fallen world that somewhere deep inside of us is a regret or a bitterness or an unforgiveness or something in there that just rattles around every now and again and pops itself up and says, beats you on the head and says, no, sir, no, ma'am. Not going to happen. You're not worth it. You're not going to feel it. It's always going to be this way. He's never going to change. She's never going to change. They're never going to change. They're never coming back. No freedom. That's not what Christ calls us to. The habitual, cyclical, relational, emotional, and spiritual ceilings placed upon our life is the absence of freedom in the presence of slavery. Then he says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Okay, so there's a cross current. Distractive, destructive. But there's a current, It's not a cross current. There's a current that comes from the cross. Now, I know the church today, 21st century, is all high-tech and sophisticated and this and that. And there are fads and changing times and relevancy and seeker-friendly. I know all of that. And most of it's decent. But I'll tell you what's not decent. When the old rugged cross becomes a newfangled cross, a new feel-good cross, cross that's there to benefit you, should you so desire. No, sometimes you don't mess with it. It's an old rugged cross, and Christ died on it, and it's 2,000 years old, and let's stick with that one, and no new teaching or some of this nonsense that's going on even around here. There's no hell, and we're teaching that in the church and this and that. The old rugged cross, let's stick with that one, okay? The old rugged cross, the gospel, the Bible, as it's written. Not as it's interpreted, as it's written. You want to have a lack of freedom, you start changing this book, you're going to experience some serious slavery for generations. The old rugged cross, there's a current that comes from that cross, and it's not a cross current. Where there's no makeup on God. And he's not made to be more palatable or more attractive. He just is who he is and who he says he is. Young people, as long as you're in this church, you're going to hear the truth. And you can take it or you can shake it. But you're going to hear the truth. The truth is God loves you and wants you free from the current that's seeking to destroy you and pull you down and pull you away from who he's called you to be. And I can tell you, no good-looking girl and no good-looking boy or no weak moment on a Friday night is worth your freedom in Christ. We need this freedom. Spurgeon put it this way, there are no crown wearers in heaven who were not cross bearers here below. He came to pay a debt he didn't know because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. All heaven is interested in the cross of Christ. All hell is terribly afraid of it. While men are the only beings who more or less ignore its meaning. Oswald Chambers. The old cross slew men. The new cross entertains them. The old cross slew men. The new cross entertains them. The old cross condemned. The new cross amuses. A.W. Tozer, the old cross destroyed confidence in the flesh. The new cross encourages it. These are the times in which we live. What is it? What is it, this freedom in Christ? I want to afford you an opportunity in the next couple of minutes. Cody, if you would come up here, please. I'm going to afford you an opportunity, the luxury of just having a little time of reflection, something we don't get often enough, in a reverential atmosphere of quiet. I know we don't get enough. I just want you to get comfortable for the next few minutes, and I want you to be still. Not just physically, I'm talking about inside. Just be still. Be still and know that I am God, says the Scripture. I want you to think about, as I say these areas of your life, I want you to picture yourself on your knees, face down to the ground, your head about 6 inches from the foot of the old rugged cross. You're in its shadow. And you're bringing things to the cross that you'd rather not take from the cross when you leave. You're there to dump them. They're not surface things. They're deeper things. You may not always realize it, but they affect the way you think and feel. There are areas that need a deep cleansing. And there's the current of the cross that can wash over you by the blood of the Lamb and free you up and give you hope in Christ. These are things that don't go away in our own strength, and they're not always placed there by our own doing, but they are nonetheless a reality. Are you free of things in your past, decisions, hurt, wrongs done you? Are those people released? Are they forgiven? Do you have an absence of bitterness? Are you free to evaluate each individual, regardless of race, politics, perspectives? Are you free to love anyone, everyone? Are you free of pretending, acting, rationalizing, procrastinating? Are you free of insecurity and worry and anxiety? Do you have any idols you'd like to leave at the foot of the cross? Do you walk in the freedom to be wrong, to be corrected? Do you have the freedom to share the gospel? Do you have the freedom to trust, to love, to be affectionate, to be compassionate and caring? Do you have the freedom to be still and listen, not interrupt someone? Do you have the freedom to show respect? Do you have the freedom to say no? To be vulnerable, transparent? Do you have the freedom to be you? You have the freedom to accept yourself, free of expectations. Do you have a freedom concerning your body image? Do you have a freedom from fear? Do you have freedom to love sacrificially, unconditionally, without strings attached? Do you have the freedom to lose yourself in worship, to dance before the Lord? Do you have the freedom to express your worship with your body? Are you living from the inside out or the outside in? Are you lovable, worthy, accepted? I'm praying over you this morning for a deep cleansing, an awareness and acceptability of that beneath the surface. That undercurrent in your life, pulling you away, pulling you down, exhausting you. There is a river. It's called the flow of grace, the river of life. You're sustained and kept by the hand of God as you move through life. Lovable, valuable, cared for and nurtured and provided for. What is so important that you would keep it with you as you walk away from the foot of that cross? What is so important? Your reputation? Your possessions? These things cost you great joy. They cost you immense freedom. What are you called to let go of? Why won't you travel light? What good are these things? What is the payoff? All who are weary and heavy laden, come unto me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. For I am humble, gentle heart. Walk worthy of the calling that I've given you. Cast your cares on me, and I will sustain you and never let the righteous fall. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. You are the apple of the eye of God. He loves you with an everlasting love. May he give you a desire to, as the deer pants for the water brooks, may your soul longeth after him more than the baggage we carry. Father, bring us to a place where we release those who have wronged us to your care and concern. To forgive those who have betrayed us, relinquish them to your care and concern. We bring you our anxiety and our pretense, our anger and bitterness, and we lay them, Lord, at the foot of the cross. It is for freedom that you set us free. Take from us that which we offer, Lord, and cleanse us by the blood of the Lamb. Help us to walk in an agape love that is kind and not rude, that is not easily angered, that is not pulled by the cross current of frustration and fear. Make and keep us whole, Lord Jesus. Men of valor and courage and love and affection and sensitivity, women of nobility and righteousness, with an inward beauty and value, wholeness and peace. I pray, Lord, over this church, a reversal of the current wherever needed, and a wholeness and a restoration and a reconciliation and a revival and a replenishment and a righteousness that is light, enjoyable, where we are carried along by the Spirit of the living God, where relationships are blessed and businesses are blessed and the work of our hands are blessed and our children are blessed. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Grant us this freedom. And I pray you grant it, Lord, expeditiously. I pray that you grant it, Lord, with power. I pray that you grant it, Lord, with a conclusiveness, with a finality. Rid us of that which seeks to destroy us, that we even ourselves have manufactured. Oh, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Lord, I ask you for those who need to be involved in this discipleship process in this course. Check them up. Check them up. Check them up in their spirit. Check them up. Speak to them. Let's get on with the business of freedom. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.